From Troy to Constantinople, Cities and Societies of Ancient Turkey. Lecture 8. The Lycians.
Although the Lydians appear to have resigned themselves to Persian rule, and even thrived under it, their neighbors to the south, the Lycians, were less tractable. Now this is a new region for us. We haven't talked much about Lycia. And it was a small area in southwestern Anatolia, a very mountainous region where the great Taurus Mountains reach down to the Mediterranean. A few tiny harbor areas existed, but much of the region was very difficult to inhabit because it was so mountainous. Now, in the second millennium BC, the Hittites refer to this area. They call the region the Luca Lands, and the later Lycian language, or Lycian language, as they would have pronounced it, is related to Luvian and Hittite. So it's thought that the Lycian people most likely arrived in Anatolia sometime in the late 3rd millennium BC, around the same time that the Hittites entered the region. Now this is guesswork based on some Hittite references and on the Lycian language. There's actually no archaeological remains from this early phase in Lycian history, but it may well come to light through excavation in the future. Now, what the Hittites have to say about the Lycians is that they had difficulty controlling them. They were warlike and fierce and independent. And what's interesting is that these characteristics very much reflect the later Lycians, as we will see. Now, once again, we can view the Lycians through the lens of the Greeks to the west. And to the Greeks, Lycia was a land of myth. This was a place where great warriors were born and stalwart heroes were tested. It was in Lycia that the Greek hero Bellerophon, riding the winged horse Pegasus, defeated the monster called Chimera, who was a monstrous fire-breathing lion with a snake for a tail and a goat's head emerging from its back. And in fact, today, you can visit a place that was called Chimera in antiquity, which is a place that has natural gas that flames as it emerges from the hillside. So you can see where this Chimera myth developed. Now, Lycia was also the home of two great warriors who are featured in the Iliad of Homer. These two men, Glaucus and Sarpedon, died fighting on behalf of the Trojans at the Trojan War. Now, according to Homer, these men had no personal quarrel with the Greeks or even had a real strong alliance with the Trojans, but they fought at Troy to exercise their warlike nature. And it's this quality of the Lycians that appears again and again when we talk about these people in later times. Now, in the past couple of lectures, we talked about the kingdom of the Phrygians and the kingdom of the Lydians. And it's clear that neither of these people managed to absorb Lycia into their realms. Now, it's possible that they didn't try, but it's very clear that the Lycians would have been difficult to conquer. In the 540s BC, however, the region did fall to the Persians. Now, remember, we talked about Cyrus the Great subduing Lydia and conquering King Croesus, and thereby gaining control of Ionia. After his conquest of Lydia, Cyrus the Great went eastward, but he left his army in the hands of a trusted general, a man named Harpagus. Now, the Greek historian Herodotus tells the dramatic tale of the Persian conquest of Lycia that was conducted by this man, Harpagus. And it's such a dramatic story, I think I'll read to you the entire text. It's not very long, coming from Herodotus's histories. What Herodotus says, he talks about the conquest of the most important Lycian city, Xanthus. And he says, "When Harpagus advanced into the plain of Xanthus, the Lycians met him in battle, though greatly outnumbered, and they fought with much gallantry. At length, however, they were defeated and forced to retire within their walls, whereupon they collected their women, children, slaves, and other property, and shut them up in the citadel, set fire to it, and burnt it to the ground. Then, having sworn to do or die, They marched out to meet the enemy and were killed to a man.